And once again, all was well in the world. Hi, everybody. Jungle Jim Jerome coming out with a special episode of Inside Curling. It is our Briar Week, and this is the second Saturday. The playoff started, and we're coming on to give you our special Inside the Briar. We couldn't do it without all our sponsors. We want to thank them, Jackpot City, Coyote Tractor, and Goldline. Coyote Tractor brings you hot rock topics on our weekly show. If you have work to do, Coyote has the tractors, the UTVs, the ZTRs, and compact construction equipment to do it. Coyote, we dig dirt. Let's get down to it. We got to talk about the Briar. It's Friday night, six teams into the playoffs, two are gone, and Warren's going to give us an update on all of that. The wheelchair championships is being played in Korea. The medal round had Canada doing pretty well. We're going to take a look at that. And our social media now is really the go-to spot for everyone, okay? There's lots going on there. Tons and tons of people are looking at it. And today on social media, some people are wondering why Team Carruthers is not referred to as Team Jacobs. He's doing everything, okay? Since Brad Jacobs is skipping, throwing last rock, he's getting the water, he's warming up the mitts, okay? He's getting coffee for everyone, he's doing everything. We got to take a look at that and see what's going on. Our weekly show, Jackpot City, brings you what's happening around the curling world. Jackpot City, casino games, perfectly made for you. I'm excited. I'm anxious. I think I beat you guys again. What's the update going into the weekend?
So it started this afternoon with two really important games on the ice. This was what we refer to as the one versus two games. One from Pool A plays two from Pool B and vice versa. In the game that was televised, which was pretty exciting, Saskatchewan's McCune was against Alberta's Butcher. The game went back and forth. Interesting thing in this game, there were two burned stones. The first one wasn't a big issue. Mark Kennedy got his foot between the rock and a sweeper, and as a result, blocked it. And it was repositioned in the favor of McCune. And so things went on there. But in the final end, Ben Hebert, with a final rock coming down, got his broom clicked onto the broom probably about 8 feet before contact. So all the rocks got rearranged, so it took about 5 minutes to get everything back to the way it was. But things went on, and in the end, Butcher came out the winner by a score of 9-7. Pretty well-played game. The Butcher team overall shot 89% versus McCune was 86. McCune struggled a bit with withdraw shots a couple of times, but other than that, their team played very well also. I should also add a big player on the ice today for the Butcher team was Gallant, who shot 98%, and he was making everything. Very fine shots, shot after shot after shot. So a very strong game for Butcher. So they proceed to the page one versus one game, which will take place tomorrow afternoon. And the other game between Brad Gushue and Reed Carruthers, again, a pretty back and forth game. 2 3-unders scored in that game by Gushue. But in the end, going home, Gushue came out the winner 9-7. So they will also advance to the one versus two game tomorrow afternoon in Regina. With the loss, both Carruthers and McCune dropped to the B side, and that was played this evening into the where the winners would go into the 3 versus 4 game tomorrow. The one game had Dunston from Manitoba against Carruthers from Manitoba, and another very tightly played game. Probably the key was in the 5th end when Dunston stole a single. And it put him up 3-0. And Carruthers' team, Brad Jacobs, struggled a bit from that point on. He just never recovered. He had a bit of difficulty with his draw shots this evening, and I think that was kind of the difference. But in the end, it was 6-2 in favor of Dunston. And the other game, bit of a blowout. Jamie Cooey of the Northwest Territories playing Mike McCune, Saskatchewan. And really interesting score if we look at it. Ends 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Single points scored by McCune every one of those ends. The 6th was blank. Then another single by McCune in ends 7 and 8. And what was going on there, which is kind of strange, Jamie Cooey in pretty much every one of those cases had a chance to make a shot for a single, but he was trying Hail Mary shots to try and pick up 2s and 3s and just kept missing them. So he actually lost that game 7-0. On the ice tonight with the Dunstone team, They played very well. They shot 93% as a team. B.J. Neufeld, the third on the Dunstone team, shot a 96% game. So they were humming tonight. Brad Jacobs, again, as I mentioned, struggled. He only shot 76%. So here's what's happening. Tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern will be the Page 1 versus 2 game between Gushue and Botcher. And tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock will be the 3 versus 4 game, which will be Dunstan versus McCune. So the winner of the Gushue-Botcher game goes to the final Sunday evening. The loser will drop to the semifinal on Sunday afternoon. And the winner of the Dunstan-McCune game will be in that semifinal. So that's kind of what happened today.
Good update, Warren. I think I got all that. All I heard was my boy McCune is still alive because I said he's going to win the Briar. That's all I hear, Kev. Just my guys' names. Kev, what are your thoughts?
Well, I don't think there's any big surprise. You know, going into this week, you had to look at Botcher as the highest-ranked team. You've got Gushue as the champ. You've got to look at those guys being the favorites, and here they are in the 1-2 game. McCune, no shocker that he's in there. And Dunstone playing Carruthers, that would have been the bet. And somebody has to win, and somebody has to lose, and then right. Dunstone outplayed them. So everything's rolling along pretty much the way you would expect, and it should be a great last couple of days of the Briar, I think. And the crowds look fantastic, and I'm sure everybody's having a great time in Regina like everybody would at a curling event. So, look forward to having a great weekend, everybody.
So you say no surprise there, Kevin. It was a heads or tails, that one? Okay.
Not really, no. But Dunstone really wants to get one step further. You got Mike McCune playing very well, and then you've got the two favorites in Botcher and Gushue. And there's no shocker. It's just going to take somebody to play very, very well to win this thing.
Yeah, I think any one of those five teams, when we started today, could have come out on top. So it's a flip a coin, really.
Jamie Cooey, 7-0. See you later. I shouldn't say.
It's really hard to figure out what he was thinking because that wasn't the main televised game, but they showed him every end when he went to throw his last rock, and just about every time he had a relatively straightforward shot to take one, but he tried these really difficult shots to score two or three and, of course, didn't make them, and that was the story of the game. So
up goes the picket fence.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm not sure what his thinking was, but anyway.
Singles everywhere? Is that the picket fence?
Single.
Yeah, this was five in a row. And then they had a blank just to mix things up and two more. So all eight ends were kind of played the same way.
Right. Well, congratulations to them. Pretty good run. No one thought they would go as far as they did. And it was early on the week with them, and Northern Ontario was the story, and Prince Edward Island. PEI and all that jazz. And Hanson always warns me, right? I said, Hanson, this is going to be good. I phoned him. This is going to be good. I'm telling you, there's going to be a new sheriff in town. Warren said, no, there isn't. Hanson's right again. He said, Jimmy, talk to me in 2 days, okay? Don't be a Monday champion, Jim, okay? Do not be a Monday, Tuesday champion. So there we go. Congratulations to all the guys and to the two losers this week. Way to go. Good Briar. Made it to the playoffs. Warren, our picks now. How are we doing?
Last night, we decided we were going to select the four teams that were going to make it through today and the two who wouldn't. So, Jim, we'll start with you.
Yes.
You pick McCune, Dunstan, Carruthers, and Botcher. So you got 3 out of 4.
Yes, my friend.
Carruthers was the only one you missed. Uh-huh. Warren took Gushue, McCune, Botcher, and Carruthers. So he missed as well in the same fashion, as did Kevin, had the same picks as Warren. So we all got 3 out of 4.
Oh, boy.
Not bad. Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad. Not bad.
Need I remind you of the rule, Warren, that the tie goes to me.
Oh, okay. Tie goes to Jim.
Yeah, you guys.
Congratulations, Jim, and another very successful round of picks. So now there will be a team eliminated tomorrow, so we will pick the two finalists and the team we think that's going to win.
Well, I got to go with McCune. I've been going with him the whole way.
And who's the other one?
He'll make it to the final. So McCune will beat Botcher in the final.
Okay. Well, that's pretty straightforward. So am I. Gushue will play Botcher, and I'm taking Gushue.
Good luck with that.
And I am saying Gushue plays Botcher. I'm sorry. Botcher's going to win it. So Botcher's going to beat Gushue in the final.
And Gushue's going to beat Botcher in the final, according to Warren. and McEwen is going to beat Botcher in the final.
I'm looking at today, and from what I've able to observe today, the guy that seems to have the touch and things going for him the best, I think, is Gushu right now. And I think that's going to come down to the next 2 days. It seems they all kind of lose the touch there for a while of the draws and the fine shots. And whoever can maintain that is going to come through this. And Gushu was the guy today, I think, that was pretty consistent with that aspect. So that's my thought process on him. So there we go. Jim says McEwen Botcher with a line under McEwen. I say Gushu Botcher with a line under Gushu. And Kevin says Gushu Botcher with a line under Botcher. So we've got three different picks for a winner. So we will find out next week on our show right. Who was right and who was wrong.
Kevin, what happens with your chances of winning if you're playing in front of a home crowd?
Well, the more experienced you are certainly increases, I think. You've got the crowd on your side, the excitement. I love playing at home, be it at the Olympics in Vancouver or be it at the trials in Edmonton. I loved it. Just eat it up. But if you're kind of younger and less experienced, it can be deadly because you're so worried about failing that you fail.
Right.
But if you got the idea of just enjoy the crowd and just live in the moment and enjoy it, it can be just terrific for you.
But yeah, that's probably a good point. There was 5,500 people there tonight. I think if things are good weather wise there tomorrow, there'll be 6,500 tomorrow night. So
yeah,
great. Yeah, pack them in.
So that's going to help McEwen, I think.
Yeah, I'm just guessing that McEwen's playing like he is because he's in front of the home crowd. Not totally. I get it, but.
How do you not like it, Jim? How do you not like it?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Terrific.
Well, the key to him, to that team as well, is Colton Flesh, who has played pretty well throughout, and he can be spectacular at times. So to a very large degree, what he does going forward here is going to determine the success of that team as well, I do believe.
All right. Very good. Go, Flash, go. Go, McEwen, go. Warren, last night, Kevin was wondering about Team Carruthers, why they're not called Team Jacobs, and so are the listeners. They're like, okay, we're just getting used to, teams with their names on their back or talking about it, that they should be called by the skip's name. Jacobs is the skip. He's throwing last rocks. He's calling all the shots. Is Carruthers just going, I'm not giving up the name, pal. It's Team Carruthers.
Well, there's rules regarding that, so I investigated that today with Curling Canada and with the World Curling Federation. So to my surprise, Curling Canada's position is the team can use whatever name they wish as far as who they want to have on the scoreboard. It's up to them. And I think they have made that decision from what I was told because of branding and how the team has branded themselves for over the year. And in a case I understand that now, they branded that team as Carruthers from the word go. And that's pretty much why they've maintained that. Now, the World Curling Federation, interesting answer I got from them, is the team will be referred to as Team Canada. As far as they are concerned, they will not use the name of, quote, a skip. And if there is any reference to a name by the World Federation, it'll be the person who is the actual skip of the team. So that's their position on it. So I guess that means at the world level, if there's any reference to that team other than Team Canada, it will be Jacobs.
What do you think, Kev?
I don't know why I know Ben Hebert would be happy about this because he could have the name have the team called Team Hebert.
Yeah, sure. He'd love it. Team Jerome, I get
hey, Benny,
it.
When Benny hears this, Benny, there's a chance. You got a chance.
Yeah, right.
But anyways, all joking aside, I certainly have always thought, like, I understand calling whoever holds the broom the skip, but a lot of times, at least back, not so much right now because of the fitness of the athletes, but in the past, a lot of times the broom holder was somebody that just wasn't any good at sweeping. And so should the name be called that? I like the name of the skip being the person who has to draw the button to win the game.
Yeah,
that's what I've always thought my whole life. So I think it should be whoever throws the last one, whoever that poor person is that's either the hero or the goat, you know, at the end, or the donkey, if he misses, then, you know, that should be the skip, in my opinion. I've always thought it. And I know they changed the rule years ago to be whoever holds the broom, but I never agreed with that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about that before. That kind of, we kind of inherited that from Europe. And certainly back in years gone by when we first started to have international competitions, you saw all kinds of different arrangements in Europe with regard to who held the broom and who threw the last rock. And often right. it was an older person skipping the game, as Kevin suggested, and throwing lead stones. And the team was named after them. And that kind of came to a head with Canada. It was way long time ago in 1978 when Ed Lukowich won Canada. But he was not holding the broom. Mike Chernoff was. But in Canada, the team was referred to as Lukowich. They went to the Worlds in Winnipeg, and of course, there was huge crowds. And the whole thing, they had kind of promoted it as, you know, Team Canada Lukowich. And the WCF, then ICF, came along and said, no, this team's going to be known as Chernoff, not Lukowich. Oh. So that kind of turned everything upside down. It's kind of when Canada started to adopt the same position as the World Federation had. But
yeah,
it's a, you know, it's not a big deal, but I think maybe we need to start going down the route of calling the team something that, rather than somebody's name, maybe the Red Devils or the, you know, the Regina Green Giants or something. I don't know.
Right. However, it's funny you bring that up because I'm often talking about the show. And when I say Kevin Martin, you know, I tell, say he's the, you know, the Wayne Gretzky, a curling man, and people know who Kevin Martin is. They may not know you're from Alberta. I think the team should be named after the name of the guy. Kevin Martin's done more for curling than anybody, and everyone knows who Kevin Martin is. You know they won the gold. They don't know that you're from Lougheed, you know, or Alberta.
That'd be good if they did, though.
Wouldn't that be good? You mean Kevin Martin, the guy from Lougheed? He won a gold medal? Yeah. Anyway. I disagree on the Red Devils thing and all that. I like the name Kevin, you know, Kevin's synonymous with the game and grew it single-handedly.
Just down here in Minneapolis, and I went to a junior bond spiel at the Fogarty Arena today. 36 teams, big junior bond spiel. Great. And the winning two teams actually get to go to the Nationals. Anyway, that's not the story. The story is this girls' team walks over to me. It's a true story. They walk over to me and said, hey, are you Carrick's dad?
Oh,
and that's honest truth.
I am. Come on. Oh my God, that's funny.
I laugh so hard. Yes, I am Carrick's dad. Nice to meet you.
That's so funny.
It was terrific.
Glennie Gretzky was on a train one time, okay, riding to Ottawa, and the guy beside him is sitting there and he hears Glenn say his name to someone or something. He's beside him on the train. There was an airstrike. And he heard Glenn Gretzky, and this is dead ass true. And the guy says, did you say your last name is Gretzky? And Glenn goes, I did. He said, oh my God, do you know Alan Gretzky? He goes, he's my uncle. true story.
Oh, that's beautiful.
What are you doing there, Kevin? What's going on? You're down in
Minnesota. Yeah, well, we're actually about 2 hours north now. I went to Minneapolis, watched the junior curling, and then got to Brainerd Lakes Curling Club. And a bit of a story here, though. Fran Holden Memorial Building is what is the community building that houses the curling club. And it was actually Fran Holden who donated the exact amount, $1,050,000, to build this complex here. And it's been around now 11 years, and 6 months of the year it's a curling club, and then 6 months of the year it's run by the Fair Board. So lots of community activities in the building, half a year. So I just wanted to mention that. That's pretty cool. So really excited about being down here in Brainerd Lakes and putting on a curling camp here at a four-sheeter and just north of Minneapolis tomorrow. So excited to do it. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and there's not much curling for you coming up with the Women's World, the Men's World, Briar at Dandia. You've got nothing to do.
Players' Championship is so-and-so-and-so. Yeah, all good.
Okay, you go to bed, Kevin. You take off. Warren and I are going to wrap up the show. Warren, you got an update on the wheelchair championships.
I do, and a very exciting one because the finals of the World Wheelchair Championship in Korea just concluded a few moments before we went to record this show. So I can tell you that Canada was playing in the gold medal game against Norway, but unfortunately, they came up short and lost the game 6-2 to Norway, so they got the silver medal. And in the bronze medal game, China defeated Sweden 6-3. So congratulations to the winning team from Norway, to skip Justine Stordahl, and to our Canadian teams, to skip Mike Eiderson, who throws lead stones, John Thurston, who throws fourth rocks, Ina Forrest, who throws third, and Gil Dash, who throws second. Congratulations. Great showing. I think the best that Canada's had in about 10 years, so well done.
Yeah, cool, man. Wow, way to go. Way to go, Canada. Right to the final. On our weekly show, Goldline brings you our most popular segment is our guest spot. It's called In the House. Goldline Curling is proud to be the founding partner of United We Curl, a nonprofit focused on expanding diversity in curling. Learn more at unitedwecurl.com. There we go, Warren. Show in the books. Big weekend if you're a curling fan. We'll be back next week with our regular show to talk about all things Brier. We appreciate everyone tuning in. Congratulations to all the teams. And thank you for listening. Give us a shout on our email, insidecurling@gmail.com. It's getting bigger and bigger all the time, so we're getting a lot of stuff, Warren, and it's getting good. There's lots of good content coming from the listener, insidecurling@gmail.com, and maybe we'll read your email on air.
And maybe a mention as well, all the people that post stuff on Facebook and Twitter, we monitor all those things as well and post stuff there as well. If you don't feel like sending us an email, we'll pick it up.
You need someone to handle your social media, get a hold of Rod Paulson, In-House Strategies, to his group. He's the guy who does it all for us. So thank you, Rod. And thank you for listening, and thank you to all our sponsors. We'll talk to you next week on Inside Curling. Go, McEwen, go. See you, Warren.
All right, Jim. Thanks.